Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them our fame, we do something we don't. Hurting people's pain, we do things that we won't. Whooping she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty. Yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? You let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark, into the marvelous light. Oh, do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood. Hey. Royalty.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, we thank thee. We praise thee. We give you exaltation, Abba, for allowing us to see another day. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you once again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the bottom of our hearts to see another Shabbat. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for allowing our eyes to open and to feel the wind blow this very breath within our lungs, Abba, to to allow us, thank you for sustaining us, Father, just giving us your breath of life one more time, one more chance to get it right. Thank you for protecting us throughout the week. Thank you for strengthening us, giving us wisdom when needed, strength when needed, to defeat the adversary, Father. And even in our losses, that we take away the lessons, Father. Father, we thank you for healing us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Father. We thank you for comforting us throughout the week and everybody who still needs that comfort, Father. We know your hands are still upon them. We know your hands are still upon our sister Ahava and the family and their mother, our sister Twin and her sister, you know, and their families and everyone who asked a prayer that day, our brother Jeremy, our brother Shaquit, the hand still upon him, and our brother Sheba, everybody and anybody, Father, Sister Imuna, and her health, her marriage. We know your hands are upon everybody who has raised their voice to speak to you, Father, and ask for help. We know that you hear us, and we know that you're working it out, Father, making us whole. Father, we just ask that you continue to strengthen us to get us to the end, Father. We don't care if we have to crawl across that line, Father. Just strengthen us and get us to the end, Father. I thank you personally for hearing my prayers and everything that you're doing with my son and watching out for him and all the joy that he brought to me this morning and everything. Thank you, Abba. Abba, we thank you for providing for us on a daily basis, providing for us all our needs, Father. We just ask that we thank you for the words that you gave us last night to our brother Ariel, Father. And just, Father, we just ask that you continue to open our eyes and open our ears up to your word and continue to grow the way that you need us to grow, that we become better brothers and sisters and better soldiers for you, Father, better family members, that we just become better all around, Father, and that we not waste these opportunities that you are giving to us, Father. This life is short. I ask, Father, that you put your hand upon, you know, my friend of mine who passed away, Tracy Parker and his family. You know, he's 53 years old, life over. Done. Father, I just ask that you send an angel to comfort them, Father, because our ending is our ending. And so, Father, we thank you again for just one more day. Can't worry about tomorrow, Father. We just thank you for the day. Thank you for the moment. These things we pray to you and we ask that we do what is acceptable and we say what is acceptable in your eyes, Father. And ask that you accept these prayers and through Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, soon coming King. Blessed be you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother, Dave Well. And magnify the Torah, make it honorable by way of Kol Elohim. Hope everybody had a great week, and if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Time to lay those burdens down, you know, talk to Abba. Give any and everything to our Heavenly Father. You know? Today we're going to be talking about the musculoskeletal system. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but how the muscles interact with the skeleton. So again, last week we talked about the skeleton being the foundation. Well, you know, it being the foundation, everything interacts with the foundation. So, we're going to look at how these things interact. But, you know, before that, we're going to get into a little bit of word. And before that, you know, just, again, you know, Abba delivered some good news for me this morning. It was a bad thing, but it was a good thing. You know, my son called me upset this morning because him and his mother got into it as usual. And he was really angry. And what I told him was, you know, son, I said, 6:45 in the morning. I said, you're not going to let your mom mess your day up, is you? You know, you, remember I'd be telling you, I said, you can't worry about what people say to you. You can't control their mouth. But you can control how you feel. I've been telling you that for years. Now it's time for you to start doing it. You got to do it. You know, and he was going through it and this, that, and another. And after about 5 or 10 minutes of me talking to him, he was still a little angry, but he had really calmed down and everything. And I told him, I said, man, don't let this mess your day up. Remember, don't let this mess your day up. You know, he got to talking about the IEP class that, the IEP meeting that, you know, my son is autistic and, you know, they're making a life plan for him. So at this IEP meeting, his mother missed it, but, you know, Darius went himself. It was just one day and the IEP person. So apparently my son draws so good that he's been teaching and tutoring other people inside the class, showing them how to class, showing them inside the class. Like, it's another student, like a kid that he fights with all the time. You know, they get into it all the time. Him and this little boy got into it from the time my son got to high school. I actually think they was going at it in middle school, too. But him and this little boy used to go at it all the time. But my son draws so well, and the little boy wants to know how to draw, so my son is teaching him how to draw. And the IEP people took notice of this. And it's another little girl that wants my son to teach her how to draw. And so he's like, yeah, I'm going to show her. Next week, I said, see, son, see, I said, you're drawing and you're doing this. I said, that's a skill. That's a way for you to, I said, that's a skill. So he's doing so well. The IEP people took notice of that and they want to teach him how to paint, you know, and do all these other things. They want him to be an artist. So it's like, I said, see, son, I said, now you're drawing. Now you're drawing and that's something that you enjoy. I said, are you upset when you're drawing? He said, no. I said, see? I said, you know why? Because I said, drawing makes you happy, right? He said, yeah. I said, see, you can control what you're thinking and how you're feeling. You don't have to be upset.
You don't have to let these things bother you. I said, and sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I said, I know sometimes you're going to get upset. That's what I'm here for. You call me up and you tell me, you say, you know, get upset and you let it out, you know. But don't you let those things mess your day up. Don't let them mess your day up. You know, you get it off, you vent, and you don't allow it to mess your day up. And you be like, all right. And by the end of that, I'm sitting up there thinking, I'm like, wow, my son is really, really talented. Abba really gave me a blessing with this old boy, you know. And I didn't think he would be that good, that he, because that was actually what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to teach kids, you know, because he's really good at the cartoon things, you know, drawing cartoons and stuff like that. So I was thinking, I was like, man, I wanted him to teach kids because kids love to draw little cartoon characters and stuff like that, you know. But that's something that they recognize. The boy is good, you know. So that's something that they discussed in the IEP meeting, you know. So I don't pursue that. You know, and they, you know, he was always teaching them life skills, you know, how to use, the next thing they're going to teach them is how to use a credit card. And I told him, I said, son, that's, I took an accounting course. I'll show you how to balance books, you know. But point being, you know, before all that happened, I was thinking about the church. And how Abba designed Israel, you know, the church being a microcosm of Israel, and how it was supposed to be like a self-contained, self-sustaining entity, you know. And Israel was supposed to have been a nation that was self-sustained, self-contained, even within the world, you know. This is how he wants us to go about things, you know, and our talents to help one another, you know. But unfortunately, sometimes, you know, just like our body helps one another. It compensates for one another, you know. And that being said, when one part is out of whack, it throws the rest of the body out of whack, you know, and the design is beautiful, but we're not working the design. You know, the design is to be one with the Most High, one with one another. But again, we're not working the design. You know, so today we're going to look into the musculoskeletal system, basically how the muscles interact with the skeletal system. So before we get into that, we're going to get into Toda Aki. Let me send that out to you, because we're going to be going into what Sheba sent out was the open stacks again. We're going back into the end, you know, these the notes that I took. You know, I hope it's just the verses and all that, but we're going to go into this again, but it's going to be in chapter 11. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send it out to everybody, and I'm going to send it out on these three, and then we'll get into the lesson. All right. Let's see. 1 second, family. All right. Hope everyone got it. All right. So let's look at the word right quick. Not really right quick, but and again, all these have, we're going to show what Abba showed. I'm going to do my best to show y'all what Abba showed me. The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, starting at verse 20. Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 20. And it reads, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, right? So this being the foundation, the law and the testimony is the foundation. Everything has to work off it. Everything. Whatever idea, whatever revelation you think you have, might be going in and out. Whatever idea you feel is coming, whatever revelation you think you have, whatever, it has to function off the law and off the testimony, because the law and the testimony is the foundation. If it disagrees with the foundation, it's not there. That's not it. All right? So you arguing about whether the earth revolves, spinning, is no argument with me. I know you're wrong. Why? Because my brother went in there, led by the Spirit of the Most High. We looked into it. It's set. It's not spinning. And when you apply your same sciences, your sciences to it, you can see that the earth is not moving at all just by applying what you know by science. All right, so for me, I'm good. You can say, you can feel, and just that, however it is you want to feel, I'm not arguing with you. The earth is not spinning, is not revolving, according to the word of the Most High. He set it on a foundation. It don't spin. All right? Luke chapter 16, or Lucas chapter 16, starting at verse 19. And this reads, and this is Yahushua speaking. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Sheol, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from here cannot. Neither can they pass to us that will come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the foundation. So let them first understand the foundation. Hear the foundation. And he said, nay, Father, see, that's the problem. No. They don't want to hear the foundation. So because you reject the foundation, no, nothing else is going to work. He said, nay, Father, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's the thinking. Get rid of the foundation. The stuff, these ideas and everything, it don't have to be founded on anything. What is the Big Bang Theory founded upon? Is they're back making that colliding thing where they smashing the atoms. They said they would rip the fabric of reality again. Remember that machine that they had? Well, they're back to talking about starting that thing back up. Talking about it. Because ain't nothing going to happen except once. It's going to be a big explosion. It's just going to be man destroying himself again. More than likely, if anything over there is radioactive, it's going to be a wasteland like Chernobyl. And that underwater one of Osaka, Japan, I think, where the reactor went blew up underneath the water and a radio got all that radioactive stuff weighing the fish out over there, killing all those fish, mutating the fish. That's all that's going to happen. It's just going to be waste again. Because man just don't want to believe the word. They this all it is? Yeah, this is all it is on this side. This is all you get on this side. There got to be another way to get to the other side. Yeah, you got the directions, but you want to subvert the directions. We say anybody that comes any other way is a thief, a robber, and a murderer. That's what you want to try to do. You want to get to this good, wonderful thing another way. There ain't no other way. He says, verse 8 again, he said, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not the foundation and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you ain't dealing with the foundation, it don't make a difference. It don't make a difference what type of revelation you think you got in the middle of the night. Just like I was talking to my two little brothers yesterday. He was talking about the Book of Mormon. I said, man, have you ever read the Book of Mormon? I said, boy, you want to talk about an angry God. That's their God right there, boy. The Book of Mormon starts off with God just blowing up the earth, just wearing the earth out. At least in the Bible, he created it first. He created it, put some land down there, you know, got the lights in order and everything. He fixed the house up before he blew it up. You get a couple chapters before the flood comes. Boy, and there was there, boy, they in the Book of Mormon, boy, chapter 2, boy, God just weighing the earth out. That's the tyrannical God that they're talking about. Found in the Book of Mormon. But, again, everything has to be tied in to the foundation. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Second Kepha, chapter 2. No, I didn't say that. I'll say Second Kepha, chapter 3. Second Kepha, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. All right. And this reads, "An account that the long suffering of our master is salvation." Even, and, you know, it was funny because we was just talking about long suffering. And, you know, when we was going through, when I was studying this week, this came up. I was like, wow, I missed that one, you know. So it's just another reason why we should bear one another's bear one another, you know, help one another. Why long suffering is a good thing, right? It says, "An account that the long suffering of our master is salvation." Well, it should be the same for us. It says, "Even as our beloved brother Paul or Shaul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood." Right? So you're talking about Paul and his writings. We know Paul and his writings can confuse some people. But he gives you the key. He says, "And which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as the which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Those people who don't know Torah. They're not connecting the things that Paul wrote with the foundation. It used to say, this might be, oh, that's the wrong button. If I remember correctly, it might have been another translation. But, you know, how they do things over the years. Let me go back. But those who are unlearned in Torah, they switch, they pervert and they twist it, trying to make it fit. But if it's not fitting in the foundation, it don't work. It has to be to the law and to the prophets. That's the only way it works. All right? I remember it talking about the law and how it, he said those who are unlearned in the law twist these scriptures. It might have been another translation. But either way, the point being, you can't separate them, right? When you separate them, it doesn't function. When you separate anything that you're trying to build, this revelation is separate from the law and from the testimony. It don't function. It cannot function. All right? The book of John or Yohanan, chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Yohanan 15, 4 and 5. And this reads, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me." So you're not going to produce the same way a branch of the tree cannot produce anything if it's cut off from the source. Well, the same way you can't produce anything if you cut off from me. I'm the source. It's the same way. If you cutting off whatever doctrine it is you believe, if it's cut off from that law and from the prophet, it's not going to produce anything. It can't function. It's just going to die. It says, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So the same way, without it, when the branch is without the vine, what happens? We see every Sukkot, branches fell off of trees and they just wither away. Can't produce nothing. Because they cut off from the source. And, you know, you don't really have to go out Sukkot. See, you could probably see that in the park down the street somewhere. You know? But that's what it does. When it's cut off from the source, death. Right? Last scripture. 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And it reads, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Now, the word for prosper, we didn't look up all this, to be honest, but the word for prosper, in the Hebrew number 6743, that word is shalak. And it means to push forward in various senses, literally or figuratively, transitively or intransitively, right? Means to push forward. In other words, you have movement, right? So when you believe that testimony, you believe that Torah, right? Now, you move because you're connected to it. All right? Okay. So what does all this have to do with the musculoskeletal system? Your muscles and your skeleton working together. All right? So we're going to get into this chapter 11 of the... I sent out the link. All right, we're going to start at chapter 11. Now remember, y'all, when we read last week, your body is, your muscles connect to the skeleton, right? And that's how we are able to move, right? So that's why it's called the musculoskeleton or muscle skeleton system. It's how your muscles interact with the skeleton, how they play off one another, right? So with that being said, think about all the scriptures that we just went through and how you cannot disconnect these from one another. When the muscles in your shoulder disconnect from your shoulder, you can't move your shoulder. You know, that's, you know, a torn rotator cuff is very painful and very hard for you to move your shoulder up in this area. I had a buddy of mine, he tore that tendon in the back, the Achilles. He was in a boot and he was dragging his leg around because you can't move it. It's harder for it to move. He couldn't bend it because that until it healed, he couldn't flex his foot or anything like that. Because the muscle was separated from the skeleton, off the foundation. Now think about that when we're dealing with the word and we're dealing with people who go off the foundation of the word. Why they sound so nuts. And again, like we read Corinthians, we talk about how you build upon that foundation. Some people use hay, some people use stubble, some people use wood, et cetera, et cetera. But he talked about how all those things, whatever you built on, is being tried by fire. So with that being said, you have small tears, intermediate tears, have full tears, you know, where these things are being, where you have the full separations and all this, that, and another, and it has to be repaired, and it takes time. But in that time, you know, you're not using using that particular, let's say your leg. And what did the doctor suggest that you do? Immobilize it. Don't move it until it's connected back to the foundation. Then after that, you have to flex it a little, move it a little, bend it a little. You can't go into a full-out sprint, anything like that. You got to work your way back into it to get build up its strength, to make sure the connection is strong. But because it's separated from that foundation, it was rendered useless. You know? The same way that if any part of it leaves that foundation, it's rendered useless. All right. We go into chapter 11:1, right? We just going to read through this, you know, just keep all that in mind, everyone. It says, by the end of this section, you'll be able to compare and contrast agonist and antagonist muscles, describe how facialities are arranged within a skeletal muscle, explain the major events of a skeletal muscle contraction within a muscle and generating force. Now, the way that our body works, it's a play off one another. You know, when they describe it, it's really, they took this body and made machines out of it. I'm going to just say it like that, right? It says, to move the skeleton, the tension created by the contraction of the fibers in most skeletal muscles is transferred to the tendons. The tendons are strong bands of dense, regular connective tissue that connect muscles to bones. The bone connection is why the muscle tissue is called skeletal muscle. To pull on the bone, that is, to change the angle at its synovial joint, that's that little small, remember we read about it last week, that little small joint piece of bone that happens to come in muscles. It says, which essentially moves the skeleton. A skeletal muscle must be attached to a fixed part of the skeleton. The movable end of the muscle that attaches to the bone being pulled is called the muscle's insertion, and the end of the muscle attached to a fixed or stabilized bone, a fixed stabilized bone, is connected to that. Get the picture, y'all. A fixed stabilized bone is called the origin. During forearm flexion, the bending of the elbow, the brachioradialis assists the brachialis, and they have the figure down there. You can see the diagram right down a little bit below. It says, although a number of muscles may be involved in an action, the principal muscle involved is called the prime mover or agonist. To lift up a cup, a muscle called the biceps brachii is actually the prime mover. However, because it can be assisted by the brachialis is called a synergist in this action. A synergist can also be a fixer that stabilizes the bone that is in the attachment of the prime mover's origin. A muscle with the opposite action of the prime mover is called an antagonist. An antagonist plays two important roles in muscle function. They maintain body or limp position, such as holding the arm out or standing erect, and they control rapid movement, as in shadow boxing, without landing a punch or the ability to check the motion of the limb. So basically, they plan on one another. It's push pull. You know, when you extending your arm, it's a pull motion. When you bringing it back, it's a pushing motion. You know, et cetera. Push pull. And this is how your muscles, they interact with that bone in this manner constantly. Push pull. You know? And depending on which set of muscles you're using, they're the ones that push pull. When you bench pressing something, you're basically using your chest muscles or your pectorals. Push pull. So as it's going up, boom, your pecs is engaged. But then as it's coming down, another set of muscles is engaged. You know, because the same muscle, it's like that muscle is going up. But then there's another set of muscles that engage. Like we're gonna read a little bit later, but it talks about how when you bringing the arm up, your bicep is the main mover. But as you're bringing it down or extending it, your tricep is the main mover. You know, and the bicep becomes the antagonist. Yeah, the antagonist. And your tricep, as you're going down, your tricep is the agonist, and your bicep becomes the antagonist. It's playing off of the tricep, and that's how it moves. And think about that. Think about all this is connected to that foundation. So if you're going a little further or bringing it a little close, it still has to be connected to that foundation. No matter whatever is going, none of this is possible if any of these rip, because I've seen a dude get his bicep ripped, you know, and it was harder for him to move stuff because he had to tear in his bicep. He literally lost like half his bicep. You know? But it says, says, for example, to extend a knee, a group of four muscles are called the quadriceps, called the quadriceps femurs, in the anterior compartment of the thigh are activated and would be called the agonist of knee extension. However, the flex the knee joint, an opposite or antagonistic set of muscles called the hamstring is activated, as what I was explaining before. All right, he says, as you see, these terms would also be reversed for the opposite action. If you consider the first action as knee bending, the hamstrings will be called the agonist, and the quadriceps femurs will be called the antagonist. So again, like depending on what you're doing, you can push-pull or you can pull-push. He says, see table for a list of some of the agonists and antagonists. Now below, yeah, okay, it tells you, that table just tells you what's going on. You have the agonist, the antagonist, and the movement that it produces. All right? Is it on this one? I don't think it's on this one. No. All right, we're going to skip all that. Go down to the next part where it's reading. It says, if y'all want to, you know, just breathe it in your own time. I know some brothers and sisters is going, some family going up to Delaware, and it's a little raining a little bit, so. But it says, there are also skeletal muscles that do not pull against the skeleton for movements. For example, there's a muscle that produces facial expressions. The insertions and origins of facial muscles are in the skin, so that certain individual muscles contract to form a smile or frown, form sounds or words, and raise the eyebrows. There also are skeletal muscles in the tongue and the external urinary and anal sphincters that allow for voluntary regulation of urination and defecation, respectively. In addition, the diaphragm contracts and releases to change the volume of the pleural cavities, but it does not move the skeleton to do this, right? It says exercising and stretching. While exercising is important to first warm up the muscles, stretching pulls on the muscle fibers and also results in increased blood flow to the muscles being worked. Without a proper warm-up, it is possible that you may either damage some of the muscle fibers or pull a tendon. A pulled tendon, regardless of location, results in pain, swelling, and diminished functions. If it is moderate to severe, injury could immobilize you for an extended period. Recall the discussion about muscles crossing joints to create movement. Most of the joints you use during exercise are synovial joints, which have synovial fluid in the joint space between two bones. Exercise and stretching may also have a beneficial effect on synovial joints. Synovial fluid is a thin but viscous film with the consistency of egg whites. When you first get up and start moving, your joints feel stiff for a number of reasons. After proper stretching and warm-up, the synovial fluid may become less viscous, allowing for better joint function. The skeletal muscles and enclosed and connective tissue scaffolding at three levels. Each muscle fiber cell is covered by endomysium, and the entire muscle is covered by epimysium. When a group of muscle fibers is bonded as a unit within the whole muscle by an additional covering of a connective tissue called pericium, that bundled group of muscle fibers is called fascicle. So certain muscles, again, are like grouped together to form these different things. They're bundled together. They work together, you know. But again, if it don't matter if they're bundled together, if they're not connected to the foundation. If it's not connected to the foundation, nothing is going to work. It says, fascial agreements by permissium is correlated to the force generated by a muscle. It also affects the range of motion of the muscle. Based on the patterns of fascial arrangement, skeletal muscles can be classified in several different ways. Orthoses are the most common fascial arrangements. All right. Says parallel muscles have fascials that are arranged in the same direction as the long axis of a muscle. The majority of skeletal muscles in the body have this type of organization. Some parallel muscles are flat sheets that expand at the end to make broad attachment. If you remember, some of our bone structures are flat also, right? We have flat bones which serve a purpose. Some parallel muscles are flat sheets that expand at the end to make broad attachments. Other parallel muscles are rotund with tendons at one or both ends. Muscles that seem to be plump have a large mass of tissue located in the middle of the muscle between the insertion and the origin, which is known as the central body. A more common name for this muscle is belly. When a muscle contracts, the contrite fibers shorten it to an even larger bulge. For example, extend and then flex your biceps brachial muscle. The large middle section is the belly. When the parallel muscle has a central large belly that is spindle-shaped, meaning it tapers as it ends to its origin and insertion, it sometimes is called a fascial song. So, you know, that's why if you ever saw bodybuilders, whenever they flex their muscle, they normally extend their arms all the way out, and then they flex that bicep. Because what they're doing is extending the belly, and again, as it gets thinner, they say when you bring it back, it'll get plumper. You know, that's what he was saying. They make your muscle look bigger. It says, and again, there's a diagram for all that. All right, now the next diagram or the next organization of muscles, that's what it's called, is circular muscles. Circular muscles, also called sphincters. When they relax, the sphincters concentrically arrange bundles of muscle fibers, increases the size of the opening, and when they contract, the size of the opening shrinks to the point of closure. The orbicularis orsus muscle is a circular muscle that goes around the mouth. When it contracts, the oral opening becomes smaller, and when it puckers the lips, as when puckering the lips for whistling. Another example is the orbicularis oculi, one of which surrounds each eye. Consider, for example, the names of the two orbicularis muscles, orbicularis oris and orbicularis oculi, where part of the same name of both muscles is the same. The first part is orbicularis, or orb, which means an orb, which equals a circle. So that's what, anytime you see that part leading the name, you know, because they give you a little class too in one of these lessons, and it talks about how you can break down these names, right? So whenever you see the word orb with the name, it means circular. Orb is circular, is a reference to a round or circular structure. It may also make one think of orbits, such as the moon's path around the earth. The word oris, which oral, refers to the oral cavity or the mouth. The word ocular, we get ocular, means the eye. There are other muscles throughout the body named by the shape or location. The deltoid is a large triangular-shaped muscle that covers the shoulder. It's so named because the Greek letter delta looks like a triangle. That's true. The rectus abdominis, rectal means straight. It's the straight muscle in the anterior wall of the abdomen, while the rectus femoris is a straight muscle in the anterior compartment of the thigh. When the muscle has a widespread expansion over a sizable area, but then the fascials come to a single common attachment point, the muscle is called convergent. So you see the word convergent, it's wide and then coming in. So those muscles are converging at one point. So they name it convergent. The attachment point for a convergent muscle must be a tendon. Excuse me, could be a tendon. And aperoneus, a flat broad tendon, or a rape, a very slender tendon. The large muscles to the chest. The pectoralis major is an example of a convergent muscle because it covers on the greater tubercula of the humerus via a tendon. The temporalis muscle of the cranium is another. Pinnate muscles, or feathers, blend into a tendon. Why feathers? Pinnate muscles, or feathers, and, you know, they're just going based on how the muscles look to them, you know. But these particular muscles look like feathers. Blend into a tendon that run through the central region of the muscle for its whole length, somewhat like the quill of a feather with a muscle arranged similar to the feathers. Due to this design, the muscle fibers is a pinnate muscle, and a pinnate muscle can only pull at an angle, and as a result, contracting pinnate muscles do not move their tendon very far. However, because the pinnate muscles generally can hold more muscle fibers within it, it can produce relatively more tension for its size. There are three subtypes of pinnate muscles. In a unipendent muscle, unit being one, the fascials are located on the one side of the tendon. The extensor digitorum of the forearm is an example of a unipendent muscle. A bipendent muscle, bi meaning two, muscles have the fascials on both sides of the tendon. In some pinnate muscles, the muscle fibers wrap around the tendon, sometimes forming individual facets in the process. This arrangement is referred to as a multipinnate. A common example is the deltoid muscle of the shoulder, which covers the shoulder but has a single tendon that inserts on the shoulder tuberosity of the humerus. Because of fascials, a portion of the multipendent muscle, like the deltoid, can be stimulated by the nervous system to change the direction of the pull. For example, when the deltoid muscle contracts, the arm abducts moves away, and they're going to show that what that means too. The arm moves away from the midline of the sagittal plane, but when only the anterior fascial is stimulated, the arm will abduct and flex more anterior at the shoulder joint. All right. Now it talks about how this is, we're going to read this last part, the lever system, right? It says the lever system on the muscle and bone interactions. Skeletal muscles do not work by themselves. Again, man, it's just taking machines. Anytime you see these machines designed off the human body. Says skeletal muscles do not work by themselves. Muscles are arranged in pairs based on their functions. For muscles attached to the bones of the skeleton, the connection determines the force, speed, and range of motion. These characteristics depend on each other and can explain the general organization of the muscular and skeletal systems. The skeleton and muscles act together to move the body. Have you ever used the back of a hammer to remove a nail from wood? The handle acts as a lever, and the head of the hammer acts as a fulcrum. The fixed point that the force is applied to when you pull back or push down on the handle. The effort applied to this system is the pulling or pushing on the handle to remove the nail, which is the load or resistance to the movement of the handle in our system. Our musculoskeletal system works in a similar manner, with bones being stiff levers and the articular ends of the bones encased in tibial joints act as fulcrums. The load would be an object being lifted or any resistance to a movement. Your head is a load. Listen, your head is a load when you are lifting it. And the effort or applied force comes from contracting skeletal muscles. So we are the load for the skeletal system. Sometimes it's harder to get up than others. You don't get up the same way. Sometimes it takes more effort. Sometimes it takes a stronger push, you know, in these things. So, again, one, they're playing off one another. You know, the way Abba designed this body is wonderful. You know, they play and they support one another. But if you have that strong foundation, right, the levers, your body work correct, right? Keep those joints warmed up and oiled up, you know, I forget the name of the whispering we just talked about, that particular bone that you warm up and it, or it's basically a hinge, and you gotta keep a hinge oiled up so it functions properly, so it can move back and forth, you know, without much friction, you know. But none of that matters if it's not connected, you know. Like we said in the beginning, like Yahushua said, you know, you build this house on a strong foundation. That way it can bear the load, you know. And that, he talked about, building that house. In that case, the load was the winds. It was the waters battering on the house, even outside of the house itself. That foundation was able to bear all of that, you know. So not only will this foundation hold you up, it is able to withstand anything that comes at you. That's why it's so important to never leave that foundation. Don't forget that foundation. It keeps you out of trouble, right? Read this. We read this every week. Psalms 19. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. We're going to read this a little bit later on. It says, Psalms or Tehillim, chapter 19, starting at verse 7. It says, the Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. right? That word sure, aman, the same with believe Yahweh, sure, make Yahweh sure, right? The same word that we read in Chronicles 20:20, right? He said, the testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of Yahweh are right, rejoicing in the heart. The command of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true, and righteous are together true, admit. They're stable. They're firm. They're strong. Right? He says, the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous are together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? So the Torah makes us understand where we went wrong, when we stray from it, right? And this is on the heels of, well, this is not on the heels, but this is where, I think it's in Timothy, where it talks about how the Torah is good for reproof, correction, all these different things, so that you can, so that the I'll look it up in a second, right? But that's where he gets the idea from. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. So as we're studying, right, there's going to be things that we don't know. But as if you continue in my word, you know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Free from what? Free from these secret faults that we have. It's going to make us free from, you know, because we violate and we don't get it sometimes. Sometimes we violate, we don't know. Sometimes we do that, we don't know. But if we stay within that foundation and everything that we do, and when I say stay within that foundation, I mean everything we do has to be based on that foundation. Everything. You can't go out and okay, cool, show me that within the word. I understand how you feel. I get it. But we ain't talking about feelings. Show me Todaki. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Every scripture is God-breathed or inspired and note profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, for instructions of righteousness, that every person who belongs to Yah may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good works. That's what that say, right? And that's on, like I say, that's where he gets inspired for this, gets the inspiration for that, right? Who can understand his errors, cleanse me from my secret faults? The Torah helps us do that. So just like when Peter was writing, hey, Paul wrote some stuff that is hard to understand to the unlearned. Nothing Paul wrote was outside of Scripture. Nothing he wrote, no matter, he said, you twisted if you think Paul is outside of Scripture, if he's outside of this Torah. You're twisting it, right? But he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous in this one, number 2086, right? Arrogant. The word is zod, or zed, right? It means to be arrogant. Right? It's arrogant for us to for us to think that we can go in here and tell Abba what he meant
by his word. He said, keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. See, the Torah does all that for us when we don't stray from it. It has to be the same way it causes us to move. But we have to move within those parameters. We can have, because we have, like the word talks about, we have liberties. But those liberties do not go outside of the word. We have freedom. You know, that's what liberty means. Our freedoms, our liberties do not go outside of the word. They don't. We are free to do whatever it is we want to, thus saith Yahweh. You know? And again, the same way that our bodies move because it's attached to the foundation, we move through that word when we stay attached to that foundation. Everything has to be according to that foundation. It is way too many men and women on the internet giving you word, giving you this, giving you that, and it's absolutely no foundation. Somebody sent it was on Instagram or something like that. But this guy said, if all this is true and yada, 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 this could be the greatest biblical find ever. Look, man, and didn't give one biblical scripture. Not one. But as a Christian, this could be the greatest find ever. But you did not say biblical, you did not give one scripture. There's too many people giving their opinions. This is the time of an opinion. Opinions rule everything nowadays. It's getting crazy. And again, for us, we just have to just stay grounded. You know, seek the law at the priest's lips. When you go within that word, make sure it lines up with that word. You know, make sure that to the law and to the testimony, like the word say. All right, family? But that's going to be it for the day. I hope Abba, I pray that he give everybody exactly what they need. If you have any questions or comments about anything or anything like that, just put them on the line, you know. Also, again, you know, prayer requests for anything like that, put them on the line. You know. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close out. Blessed to you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed be you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, once again, Father, we thank you for allowing us to see another day, allowing us to just come bask in your glory. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us, Father. Again, we thank you for the words that you put on our brother Ariel last night. We ask, Father, that you put your words on, I believe, Dr. L teaching, not Mario. Fill them up. Fill the next teacher, the next Moray up. Bring forth this word. Edify us. Grow us, Father, in the way that you feel fit for the family that's going up to Delaware. Keep and protect the roads for them. Don't allow any hurt or harm or any bad things to happen to them, Father. Send your traveling mercies with them, Father, and get them there and bring them back. Allow, you know, great fellowship, Abba, and just a joy to be on your Shabbat, Father. Just allow us to feel that wonderfulness, Father. Just thank you for it, Father. It's just happy and give you praise, Father. I ask that you bless the choir and allow them to bring forth pleasing sounds to your ears, Father, that brings delight to you, and let our praises be that sweet savor under your nose, Father. Again, we just give you praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for providing for us throughout the week, giving us the strength to overcome anything and everything, Father. We just thank you and give you praise according to your word and according to our brother, through our brother, Yahushua, our Mashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of Shabbat.
Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. So I